Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, and I am your host, Tom Rafferty. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Rafferty with SAP, and with me on the show today, I have Hans. Hans, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. My name is Hans Talbauer. I'm leading the go-to-market and sales organization for digital supply chain at SAP globally.
Excellent. And Hans, you and I were both in South Africa earlier this year at an event, SAPILA, the users event, and you gave an interesting talk about how digital supply chains can help organizations in times of uncertainty. And, you know, I think given a lot of the news articles that are going on at the moment, we're certainly in kind of uncertain times. But for people who weren't in the room, can you give us kind of a summary of that talk? Why we're in uncertain times and how digital supply chains can help organizations?
Yeah, sure. And let me jump right into this topic and talk about the volatility, uncertainty, which is going on in the world, around the world. Everybody is, I think, fully aware about this, but also what I'm focused on is really the impact on supply chain, right? And how companies need to adjust their supply chains constantly and why this is. So when we talk about volatility, there is always volatility in the supply chain, right? Typically, you have weather crisis, you have hurricanes like the one right now in Florida, you have typhoons, you have earthquakes, you have a lot of, let's say, weather-related impacts on a supply chain. Why is there an impact on supply chain? You can easily understand if there are ships in the ocean right now going into the Gulf and going into, let's say, Louisiana, then they are impacted right now with all the transportation. So companies need to reroute the ships, flights, trucks, and so on from this area. So it has a severe impact. Also from a consumer behavior, you always have the impact from the severe weather conditions. A lot of food and water and things are required before the hurricane, then you have a lot of supplies needed right after it, and, right? So huge supply chain task, actually, for all kinds of industries, all kinds of companies, whenever such a issue with weather comes up. And this is constantly, and I would call it almost normal. However, with the climate change, we see it more frequently, right? And so this is one piece of volatility. The second piece, and this is a little bit out of the norm of volatility, is really the geopolitical impact. I think never before we had all this impact coming from politicians around the world. A tweet can change the supply chain on the fly. A tweet about, I introduce tariffs to Mexico, immediately has the impact that trucks are being sent to Mexico, all kinds of products are being purchased, everything is brought back to the U.S., warehouses are being filled up, and as you can easily see, costs are just increasing, disruption in the supply chain, and really, a huge impact immediately. And then, of course, you have the longer-term negotiations where nobody knows where it ends up. It's U.S.-China. You have the Brexit going on where nobody knows how it ends up. And there are many more of these actually around the world where it just creates much, much more volatility in the supply chain. And this is, of course, an impact every single company has. And this is also where all these companies are asking for help. They're saying we need more visibility in the supply chain. We need to have more real-time updates in the supply chain. It's not that I can plan in a more longer term, you can still do that and need to do that, but I need to have real-time visibility in the supply chain in order to have the possibility to immediately adjust, to change, to react, in order to not just use it as a challenge, but maybe even as an opportunity and thrive with that.
What kind of solutions are available for companies to help them respond more quickly to these kinds of situations?
Yeah, the way I look at it is, that a supply chain, a digital supply chain, needs to be a connected supply chain. If you ask companies around the world, it's really not a big difference between the different regions. If you ask them, are you really digitally connected with your business partners? The first question is, of course, what is a business partner here? And I would always answer, in the supply chain, it is your suppliers, it is your equipment manufacturers, it is your manufacturing partners, it is your product innovation partners, and of course, it's also your logistics partners, the freight forwarders and carriers. Yeah. So it's not just the narrow slice of key suppliers, it's really all the business partners. And then you ask, how many of those are digitally connected, not via an Excel spreadsheet, not via an email, but digitally connected to your supply chain? And the answer is always about 10%. Right? Wow. So we have a black box of 90% of the business partners. I have no idea what they are doing. I have no idea, can they respond immediately to a request I have? I have no connectivity there. Right? So that's a big topic. That's also a big topic SAP is focusing on, where we say we need to create these networks. We need to be able to have it much, much easier for companies to connect with each other. Now, not only the EDI, the traditional EDI connection, where it's really cumbersome and difficult to get the connection, but make it easy. Help these companies to onboard to these networks and create this visibility, create this connectivity. And this is one dimension, right? So this is one piece, but a very, very important one. The second one is the connectivity to the things. We are talking about Industry 4.0, Internet of Things, already since quite some time, right? So this is really not new anymore. But then again, you ask the same question. How many of your assets, how many of your machines, how many of your trucks, whatever the asset is actually, are connected in a digital way to your supply chain, to your manufacturing processes, to your logistics processes? And the answer is pretty much the same. Actually, it's a little bit lower. It's between 5 and 10%. So again, a huge black box, right, in terms of visibility in my supply chain. Because if I don't connect, then I don't know. And so this is kind of what we have. I look at this in a very positive way. I think this is a huge chance, right? Uh-huh. We need to, because the technology is there, right? So we need to be able to connect the business partners. We need to be able to connect the things. If we do that and we mix it with the operational data, which is a manufacturing order, production order, plant order, or a delivery, a shipment, these type of objects, and then we tie in the customer data, maybe even the customer experience data into this, and then just think about this data lake we create here, and then the possibilities, the sheer endless possibilities we have when we correlate this information with machine learning technology, and then really start to predict the outcomes, right? So this is actually where we are going to, where we say we need to have not only this connectivity, we need to also then use this information in an intelligent way. We use the machine in order to help us, because it would be impossible for humans to deal with all this data. So we need to really take the advantages of machine learning. And now we start to predict the outcome. Of course, predictive maintenance is a very good example, but it's only one example. You can use the same for transportation to predict the ETA, the expected shipment date. You can also use it for demand management. You can use it in all the different business processes around the supply chain. And this, finally, will really change the way how we look at supply chain. Because what it does is, instead of reacting to an event and waiting until something happens, I start to predict. So I use the hurricane forecast and start to predict all my supply chain, my transportation, my assets, my manufacturing, and. I don't wait until the hurricane hits, right? So there's a big difference. And with that, we are in a much better position how to run a supply chain, how we create finally really this intelligent and highly automated supply chain we all want to have.
Okay, but with maybe between 5 and 10% of things and partners connected, how do we move that to 50 to 90 to 100%? And how do we handle the data that then comes from that huge increase in incoming information?
Yeah, very good question and very important. I mean, let's be realistic, right? It needs to be a step-by-step approach. I'm also saying it needs to be a mix of these three things, right? So I'm not only saying we now first we need to connect everything. Only once we have everything connected, now I can do prediction, and then only I can automate. That's not what I'm saying. I say, well, you know, if you start in operations and asset management and you start with connecting your key equipment in order to predict maintenance, this can already make a huge difference. A huge difference in savings, huge difference in delivery mechanisms in manufacturing and so on. So that's a very good piece. If I then say I mix it with, I want to have more connectivity to my equipment manufacturer so that I have a digital twin of the equipment in my production and my entire company, actually, then, you know, this is where I go and connect the equipment manufacturers. If I then say, well, I want to have also a high level of automation, then I maybe want to introduce either in manufacturing, the manufacturing automation processes, where I connect the manufacturing execution systems with my automation systems on the shop floor, or I use a demand management process, which is maybe the demand-driven material requirements planning process, the DDMRP process, which automatically can replenish all the goods from the customer or from the plant to the customer. Yeah? So there are all these opportunities and possibilities we can do now. We don't need to be sequential. We can really have a mix, and this is dependent by company. But the goal needs to be, I need to be more connected. I need to invite more and more the partners in a digital way, not only emails and Excel spreadsheets, but really in a digital way. And then also more and more I need to connect the things. And then I get to this future landscape.
Sure. And how do we encourage these partners to be more digitally connected? Because, as you say, about 90% of them are not.
Well, you know, everyone is connected to their customers and has suppliers and has logistics service providers as partners, freight forwarders as partners. So there's not a single company who can do everything by themselves. So everybody needs to work with the partners. And so therefore, there is a benefit for everyone to be part of these networks. And I think actually, and talking with all these companies around the world, there's not a question of understanding the value of being digitally connected. The issue pretty much was so far technology. The issue was that there was not an easy way to be connected. There's some hesitation sometimes in terms of what kind of data being shared with, but in general, you can overcome that quite easily. I mean, just think about in the indirect procurement area where companies are connected around the world on the Ariba network with, I don't know, 3 million and more business partners. And the same is possible on the direct material space. The same is possible for the equipment manufacturers with the manufacturers. The same is possible for logistics. And we need to aim that we have actually a digital connectivity for all the assets in the world, for all the logistics partners in this world. And we need to be open, right? From an SAP perspective, it needs to be an open environment. It's not only that SAP delivers that by themselves, but we need to have maybe a network of networks as a strategy, right? So we connect to existing networks just to make it easy, simple for everyone to get the information they need, to get this information in order to drive more visibility and then be more responsive to everything what happens in the volatile world.
Okay, and so what kind of time frame are we looking at to get to that place where, you know, the vast majority of our partners and things are connected?
Well, I think in some regions and areas it will go faster than in others. There is a huge effort in Europe, especially Germany, but also other European countries about the Industry 4.0 concept. You could also say China, Japan, at the same level, sometimes it's perceived that they're even faster in order to automate and connect. I think in this whole discussion about Industry 4.0, it's also important to understand we're not just talking about the hardware on the shop floor, which needs to be automated, which is being done quite successfully, but we need to connect the business processes, and they need to be automated as well. Right? At the moment, it seems to be a little bit of a these two things are not synchronized. We have a lot of automation on the shop floor, but the systems which are making the decisions are still very much in the batch mode. So we need to come to a much, much closer environment here between the business processes and the execution itself. But this is one piece, right? Industry 4.0 really drives not only the discussion, but really drives the adoption. And I think the time is over to really think about that as a proof of concept. We see companies really adopting that very, very fast. On the networks, SAP has introduced the asset intelligence network, which connects the equipment manufacturers with manufacturers, really having this digital twin aspect in mind. But we did not only introduce this asset intelligence network, but we also have in this environment for the logistics side, the logistics business network. We have the environment for the network on the manufacturing side, and of course for direct material collaboration. So the technology, like I said at the beginning, is there, right? We need to start to use it. We need to start to deploy it in a much easier way, faster way, so that we can help these companies to onboard. I'm very optimistic that we will see a big focus on this, because everybody in the world asks about visibility, and this topic of volatility will not go away soon.
So, kind of in summary, people need to, or organizations, probably better to say, organizations need to have a modern, nimble digital platform in order to be able to respond more quickly to the kind of unfolding events that are happening more and more frequently.
Perfect summary.
Okay. One last thing, Hans, before we finish up, I like to end on a question, which is there any question that I haven't asked you which you think I should have?
See, and when you think about the major trends on digital supply chain, there's one aspect which is equally important than the discussion around volatility. And this is really about the innovation in business processes. And the key theme here to keep in mind is sustainability. This is a big, big, big topic. You have companies around the world with clear targets. You ask them, you get the answer, well, I want to reduce all waste, or by 2022, for example, or I want to be carbon dioxide neutral, or I want to have energy consumption reduced by 50% in my processes. All of this has a huge impact how you set up your business processes and supply chain, how you run your business. So it's one piece is thinking about the visibility, thinking about getting more and more intelligent. The other piece is, and nobody should forget that, thinking about the innovation and how to drive business differently, how to introduce circular economy processes in a different way. And in all the time, what is really, really important, always keep the customer in mind. So tying the experience management with the supply chain directly is the key to success.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Hans, that's been great. If people want to know more about digital supply chain or about Hans Thalbauer, where should they go to find out more?
They can go to sap.com. They find a lot of information about digital supply chain at SAP. They can send me an email with hans.talbauer@sap.com, and they can find me at numbers of events around the world. I'm constantly traveling, and seems like from time to time I'm everywhere, but it's really a lot of events I'm attending. So it's quite easy actually to get information, get in contact with me.
Perfect, perfect. Hans, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain, or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application to get new episodes right away as soon as they're published. And also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.